Can you
Ooh,
hear me?
now I can hear you.
All right,
Yeah.
sick. I was so confused why that was happening like that. How's it going?
Hi, how's it going? I know every time I make an update to something, it always crashes inevitably,
I have no
horribly.
idea. I first had to update, and then I had to clear space on my computer, and then I had to somehow finagle this. So I think it's working out.
Finagle.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, so stupid. The same thing happened to Twitter yesterday. Like it was down for like an hour. Did you know about this?
I heard this. Yeah, I was on Discord with my friends, and then just they were all blowing up about Twitter being offline. They were all on Blue Sky,
Yeah, it was
discussing
so
it.
dumb. So
Yeah.
like I was just like trying to figure out like what was happening. And I just couldn't do anything. But the only thing that was available on Twitter was like this random room, and it was like 6,000 people in it. And it was really great because everyone was talking shit, and then inevitably it became like a talent show, and people were just like throwing bars. It was really great, actually.
That sounds like a ton of fun. Yeah,
Yeah,
I
like it was like the power of community.
yeah.
Let's just get them together. Well, thanks so much for agreeing to be on this podcast.
Yeah.
This topic has been asked for a while.
Oh
And I thought, yeah, why couldn't I do a show about poppers? And I'd reached out to a company that I bought poppers from, and I thought, oh, maybe they would know information. And then they were just like, we just sell the shit. Like we don't know really much about it.
yeah.
And then I was talking to your girlfriend, which I feel like is a
Yes.
common friend of ours.
Yeah, justice. Yeah.
Yeah,
We
Justice. And yeah, and then she was like, oh, I should get you in contact with BH Cleaner. And I was
Yeah.
like, okay, cool. And then it happened. I was like, you know what? I'll just DM him. It's cool.
Just go ahead.
Yeah, so now I'm here.
Oh, how's it going? I'm Jacob, by the way. So,
It's nice to meet you.
yeah. Yeah, what's your name?
My name is Ren.
Ren. All right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Or you can call me Beastly or Daddy, whatever suits, yeah.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
So what's Chicago like right now? What's going on over there? You're in Chicago, right?
Yeah, I'm in Chicago. It's like there's always something going on, but I'm about to head out for the weekend to go visit my parents. So, I
The
probably spend like
fam.
one Friday night, going to the bars, and then Saturday I'm gonna be hungover at the airport all day. So it'll be
Yeah.
great. It'll be
Are you the
fabulous.
type of person that lives in a big city but goes to like a rural area for home, or is
I actually
everyone close
am going
by?
to rural area for home. My parents live in like this random corner of Colorado, like in
Oh, okay,
basically the middle
cool.
of nowhere. So they
That
live in
sounds like
like
fun, actually.
it's great. It's Southwest Colorado. It's beautiful. It's remote. It's like a little artist enclave out there. It's really cute. So
I've always romanticized the idea of traveling out for the holidays and going back to it. Like everyone,
yes.
I'm from LA, so all my family, immediate family's here in LA. So
Yeah.
I would literally drive maybe less than an hour to get to
Yeah.
where I need to go. But I don't know, there's something kind of frantic and cool about
Yeah, it's a little
traveling
romantic. It's like
somewhere.
I'm actually, guys, you guys are staying here for Christmas. I'm actually going into the wilderness. I'm going to
Yeah.
Colorado. I'm going to stay on a mountain for the next few days,
See, that sounds fucking cool, dude.
Yeah, it's gonna be very cold and very snowy, but yeah, it's a bitch getting out there. It's like two flights, and then I gotta take a tiny little like prop plane basically to land at the tiniest little airport in Southwest Colorado. So
That sounds terrifying,
it's
actually.
not fun. It's not fun. I always have sort of a little mini panic spiral during it. So yeah, it's
Oh,
interesting. Yeah.
are you a bad flyer?
I'm fine, but like I'm like I keep getting fatter.
Oh
I keep getting fatter and planes keep getting like smaller and I keep getting more and more uncomfortable on these trips. So I don't know what to do about it. I'm not losing weight, so
That's real talk. Like
sort
I
it out.
my uncomfortableness comes from really long legs,
Yeah.
and my poor ass can't afford business class, so I'm stuck in the back.
Yeah, I know.
So
I'm not
inevitably,
paying for.
my legs are either always to the side, like I can never sit fully front, or like they're like that, my leg. And
Yeah,
it's just
I
like
have to do that.
so.
Then I just end up. I swear, the last flight I was on, I was physically touching. I was sitting in the middle, and I was physically touching each person on either side of me for the entire duration of the flight. I'm like, this is unbearable. I cannot even imagine doing a long distance flight, touching, physically touching people, strangers
It's
on both sides of me.
I know it's so gross, right? Yeah. And especially like when you fly Southwest and it's like no, there's no assigned seating, and you're, if it's a full plane, you're lost out, bro.
Chaos. It's chaos. Yeah.
Imagine being like on a 14-hour flight like to fucking Australia.
I would lose my mind. I would have to tranquilize myself into the fucking nether realm. I would not be able to cope. I would have to just like just get absolutely blitzed or something just to like knock myself out, because there was no physical way I could manage it. I don't know.
That's when I would really shell out the money for business class. I was like, $2,000, sure. I don't give a fuck.
This is the reason I've been saying I haven't gone to Europe. It's like, no, I just can't. Of course I would love to go to Europe, but I can't sit in the flight. I can't do the flight, you know.
It's true.
I'll take a boat.
Ooh, a boat sounds
I'll travel by boat to Europe. I won't fly.
I wonder how long a boat ride would take.
I think it would take like a couple weeks.
But then do you get seasick? I feel like I would be like, no,
I think I'm fine.
I just feel like it's 2023. Like, why aren't we teleporting yet, bro? Like, why aren't we pushing a button and like manifesting ourselves somewhere? Like, fucking Star Trek and shit. Yeah.
I don't know. It's a wonderful question.
It's a wonderful question. Yeah. So I was taking a look at your website, which I love. I love the aesthetic of your site, by the way.
It's cute.
It is really cute. It gives me like, maybe it's the wrong 70s.
It's supposed to be like a sort of like mid 80s, early 90s throwback of like the whole like aesthetic of the brand is supposed to be evocative of like, you know, you have to go to Blockbuster with your parents to go pick up the latest video. And like, it's supposed to be just like, oh, you know, sort of throwback static, you know, retro sort of vibe to it.
It reminds me of those old school like barbershops where you have like the, who's the artist? Do you know the artist?
Patrick
I know there's
Nagle.
An artist. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. We actually have Patrick Nagle style shirts on our website, actually.
Yeah. The super Twunk Rico tee.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want one of those.
I'm obsessed with Patrick Nagle. I actually went on a little Patrick Nagle spree last year. I just like, I'm obsessed with that sort of like very of like 90s evocative iconography. I guess it's like 80s evocative iconography, but yeah, I went on a like a little spree with it and then just start printing out shirts of Patrick Nagle. So I have like 5 different prints of Patrick Nagle on shirts before we started making the super twunk ones. I don't know. I just think it's really fun.
I love this super twunk Jesse because it just looks like it looks like fucking X-Men Jubilee.
Yeah, it does. She's got the coat and everything.
Yeah, like it just, she's like stiff for poppers. Is that where she gets her magical powers from? She'd be the poppers and just fucking like sparking shit up. That's fucking awesome.
I think it's fun though. I've always remembered as like a kid seeing those sort of posters up in like every single nail salon. So I want to do something
like
that.
Like I remember that like being a kid and just like seeing
it's universal. It's so some is just a strange like universal icon that everyone saw during a specific period of time. So
yeah, that's right.
Be fun to like subvert that and do it into a sort of like, you know, weird gay version.
I like it. You do a good job.
It's cute. I didn't draw it, but
using that as like a, you know, as a branding for your stuff is really cool.
I think
so. Where does one learn how to make poppers?
So, you know, it's kind of like, so honestly, poppers are like not that difficult to make. You know, it requires just like a basic understanding of chemistry and like, you know, a few decent pieces of equipment. But I have like a science degree. So I have like a biology degree. So I had to take like every chemistry course in college, had to do like endless series of chemistry labs. So I have like a baseline level of knowledge when it comes to chemistry. And then, I don't know, I just got really, really bored and unhappy with my current job during the pandemic. And, you know, as everyone sort of went through this period of like, what am I doing with my life? I went through that very hard. I went through that period and it hit me very, very hard. And I just sort of started browsing around through some like chemistry forums, you know, some of which you kind of have to like know the right people to get invited into. And then so I just sort of like got into these forums, started browsing around and started like, you know, getting a basic grasp of the chemistry behind it and, you know, realizing like, okay, like I need $200 and I can like get started making stuff. It's like, and it's like all the chemicals you can find really easily. You know, you don't need to be like a, you don't need like a permit to get any of them. They're all like readily available, used for a bunch of other things. So, you know, once you just get a handle on some of like the basics of it, it's just like, okay, well, let's just try it out. So
coming from someone that has a degree in chemistry.
Well, I have a degree in biology. I just biology. Have a lot of chemistry. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Got it. But I mean, that's to say, like, not everyone can make poppers. Like, you literally have to understand like what the materials are made of.
Yeah, and there's some like you know, you have to do a few calculations, like stoichiometric calculations, to figure out like the ratios of what you're putting in versus what you're going to be expecting to get with your yield and everything. So there's like some baseline level of like knowledge that would be helpful. Or if you want, you can just be like, okay, I'm taking this guy's exact formula, everything that he put on here, and I'm just going to do it myself and see what happens. But yeah,
see, that's like smart people shit. It's where you're just, like, taking in all these materials and bringing them together.
Honestly, I feel like you could do this. You know, maybe I'm giving the goat away, but you know,
no. I just feel like, you know, I think you're right. I think if I really wanted to make poppers, I really could. I think people are just like, if your intention is to like do this thing, just like, you know, source the internet. You can make a lot of shit off the internet.
I was so bored. I was like excruciatingly bored. And I also like loathed my job at the time with a fiery intensity.
Yeah.
So
I hear that.
Those two things really, you know, combined to produce this sort of interest. So.
So I was reading the about, and it's like from our first experience via questionable Craigslist meetup. I was so curious to hear more about this questionable. Was that the first time you ever tried poppers?
Yeah, actually.
Unpack that.
Okay, yeah. Well, like, first off, I have a deep-seated admiration for old M4M Craigslist. Like, that was my first...
Oh, that was some old school
first
shit.
Gay sexual experiences were through Craigslist. Literally, in college, my first gay experience was... me in Oklahoma meeting up with this, you know, closeted farmer.
That's hot.
Yeah, it was really hot.
I'm already loving this.
He came over, just reeked of cigarette smoke, and I'm just like, oh, this is like so fucking hot. What the fuck is happening? And just ended up having a hookup. But you know, maybe like a couple years after that, I was doing a college or a grad school visit down at UT Austin, and was just like being a little floozy, you know, just like trolling Craigslist. Some guy invited me over, you know, he was giving me some good dick and just handed me this bottle. And I was like, okay. I had never even heard nor seen a popper in my entire time that I lived
in
Oklahoma.
Were you not terrified?
I was just like horny, and he was like, do it.
Yeah, that's usually how that works.
He's giving me some good dick. I'm just like, you know, he's doing a good job. I think I trust.
Do you remember
his
what
judgment.
That felt like the very first time you ever?
Oh, it was
poppers?
Incredible. I remember having my mind fucking blown. I was obsessed. Like, it was outrageous. I took a first hit and I was like, what the fuck? Like, I briefly lost my shit. Like,
yeah.
It was such a, you know, I don't know if transformative word would be like overblowing it, but it was like an amazing experience. It was like, you know, I'm just sort of like a gay bee still. I'm still like, you know, I spent the past 4 years living in Oklahoma where my gay exposure is like nil, had never seen a pop before. And then going down to like the big city of Austin and just, you know, having this experience with the guy, it was really cool. And
you
that's
just hooked after that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it kind of just catalyzed like, okay, like sex can be one thing and it can also be like many shades of other things. Mm. And, you know, this was also before I was very like kinky. I would consider myself a very avid kinkster at the moment. Like, I'm into like a very broad range of stuff. Mm-hmm. But at the time, like, I wasn't. And I feel like that, in a sense, sort of catalyzed my interest in like the other aspects of sex that I hadn't been exposed to yet. So it was kind of like a little like eye-opening experience of like, oh yeah, sex, it can be this, but it can also be just like all these other things that you haven't touched yet. And so I don't know. I felt like it was a really interesting experience. I mean, the hookup was great too. So, you know, like,
yeah, Do you feel like the poppers allowed a certain sense of like of freedom, like expression, inhibition?
It definitely like lowers your inhibition during the scene. It's
For
like,
sure, for
you
sure.
know, I feel like poppers, I'm speaking like from the present, but like even in that, even in that, you know, scenario, it's like poppers can be like a catalyst for you just like really being present in the moment of really just being like, you know, if done right, it's like a really way to just be like, oh, I really feel this other person. Like, you know, it's like this dropping of all these other boundaries and barriers and just being like, wow, like I am like right here with this other guy. Like in this second, I am just like one to one, you know, right there.
Definitely.
So yeah, I think I think you can, you know, poppers have like a variety of use, but I love using poppers as like a sort of magnifier of intimacy. I think that's a really,
Ooh, a
really,
magnifier of intimacy. I like that a
yeah,
lot.
I think it's a really fun tool.
Yeah, I feel like poppers doesn't it doesn't change you. It just kind of enhances who you are as a person already, like
Yeah.
as a sexual person, like whatever that is to you, like whatever vibe, whatever energy you're giving. Like I feel like poppers allows you to like manifest that outwardly
Yeah.
exponentially. Like it just kind of makes it bigger for you somehow.
I think it just sort of it deepens the intensity of whatever you're doing with. And like, you know, sometimes poppers aren't totally appropriate for some scenes or sometimes like you've taken like a hit of popper and it just sort of takes you out of it. You know, it's just sort of context dependent. But I think if done right, it's just like, you know, I think it really just helps you dive deep into whatever connection you're already feeling with, you know, the person that you're playing with. So yeah, I think they're really fascinating tool. I think poppers are really interesting just in general. You know, I don't know if you've used poppers for like dancing, but
No, like at the
yeah,
club. I mean,
poppers
I've
at the
tried them at the
club.
club. Yes. Yes, yes,
Yes,
yes, yes, yes,
yes.
yes.
Poppers combined with like some like good music, you know, hanging out with friends, like you're on the dance floor. Poppers can, you know, and you take like a little hit of popper on the dance floor, and it is like I've had like near religious experiences, just like, you know, losing yourself in it. It's sort of like, again, this sort of like barrier breaking down of like, I am just like there, mano a mano with the music, with the situation, with the scenario, just like being there. So, yeah, I think, you know, poppers kind of have like their own little time and place in these different scenarios. And
For sure.
yeah, I've had such a good time going out dancing with my friends, feeding them poppers. So,
I bet you're like the pop. I'm sure everyone like
well,
sees you like the poppers guy. They see
everyone
you come and
knows.
they're just like,
Yeah,
bro,
they're
hook
just
me
like, oh, I
up.
know that's his job. So it's like, oh, can I take a hit? I'm like, oh, why do you think I have a bottle on me? They're like, well,
Are you always
do you
stacked
not?
with poppers like going
If I'm
out?
going out, yeah, I probably always have like a
There was a
bottle.
time when I was like hooking up a lot, Craigslist. And I would literally have poppers just in my car at the ready. Like I was just like having them everywhere, like
You
fucking
know, I
dropping them on
yeah,
public
you
sidewalks. I'd be
well,
like,
you've got
oops.
like your emergency poppers, you've got like your backup poppers, you've got like a, you know, okay, I've got like in my nightstand, I've got my emergency poppers. Like I've lost all the other bottles. This one is like 2 months old, 3 months old, but it's like, okay, I think I might still get the job done.
I don't remember exactly when I first had them, but I've been using them for a really long time. And I remember like starting off with the little ones, you know, those that was like, you know, that's what you could get your hands on. And then after a while, I was like, this is not enough. Like this is,
Yeah.
and so then you moved over to like the big, like
Yeah.
fucking 30 mil bottles. You're like, hell yeah, this is what I'm talking about.
It
I've
was a
never
really,
turned back since.
I found it to be a really fun process, like a really interesting process of like going through different brands of like, okay, I got exposed to this thing and you use that thing for a little bit. And it's like, okay, I think I found the limits of like where this product is. And then you just start like exploring other brands and sort of building a sort of like idea of what all these different things do to you in slightly different ways. And then, you know, I find it really fun to just like go to a sex shop, get the guy behind the counter's opinion on what is good, what's not, try it out, see if it's, you know, worth the $30, and then just, you know, try again next time.
Because not all poppers are made the same, right?
No, poppers can be like a pretty broad, this is something like I think people don't exactly understand is that poppers can be like a pretty broad range of chemicals and experiences. And in total, if you're just doing like, you know, if you're not blending any of them together, if you're just doing like, you know, if you're just talking about single different types of nitrite, you know, I think there's like probably like 9 or 10, maybe 12 different types that you can make just on their own. Just, you know, like if you're talking about like all the way from isopropyl to isobutyl, secbutyl, n-butyl, and then all the different types of amyls that you can make. I think there's like, I think there's like 6 or 7 different types of amyls you can make on.
So you just basically just make a combination based on all those things.
Yeah. Well, like I, you know, I went through a period when we were first making our formula, which our first formula took me like, you know, like over 6 months to really finalize because we were testing so many different types and so many different blends. Yeah. I just wanted to like give each of these different types like their own due and then try and come up with a blend that I found like most appealing. So like, you know, I tried a few different types of amyl. Amyl's like, you know, it's like the old school popper. It's like kind of like the OG popper. Some of them I found appealing, some of them I didn't. Then I went over to like the butyl types of nitrite, and butyl's like the ones that like Double Scorpio produces. They use mostly isobutyl. And then they do have one formula that uses like a trio of the different butyls. But yeah, it was just kind of like, you know, a process of like, I had a sort of small cadre of popper testers that I would feed free solvents to for like 6 months. And every time I'd make a new batch, I would just hand it to them, have them kind of score it on different categories. Nice. And then, you know, give me their feedback for it. And then I'd be like, okay, well, that seemed like it was decent. Maybe let's try a different one, or you know, maybe let's try that previous one back to back with this new one and sort of feel it out. So it was a process.
Yeah, it's a process. It's like nerding out on like a party drug.
It was like a little bit. It's like a tiered system of trying to find like which one everyone found like the most appealing. And kind of we were going for like, I'm like a very like experienced popper user. You know, like I've been trying to find like, my MO was trying to find like the most intense, you know.
Yeah, I always go for the hard strength. Yeah, I always want like the hard stuff. Like give it to me raw. I
want the ones that are really gonna like, you know, do me down.
Hell yeah.
and so like the goal there was to find like, you know, I feel like other popper companies have different sort of niches they've carved out for themselves. You know, I feel like Double Scorpio is kind of like a party popper, you know, it's kind of like a little dance floor-y, kind of like, it's not too heavy, but it's a good solid popper.
Yeah.
I wanted to go for something that was like, oh, this is for very experienced people. You know, this is for people that really know their stuff, that, you know, have tried a lot of other brands, and they want something that's different, that's really going to like get them there.
Yeah. Wait, your camera just froze on me.
Am I back? 1 second.
No.
Am I back?
Yes, now you're back.
Okay. There we go.
Wait, can you repeat what you just said? I think it just cut off that whole... Sorry.
the gist basically was that I wanted to find like a type of popper like that I really wanted to use. Like,
so you specifically set out to make like a popper formula that's going to be for like the heavy hitters.
Yeah, that was the goal. It's like, you know, it's like when you're forming a company, you can't just like, you know, make something and hope that people are going to buy it. It's like you kind of have to find an angle to it that's compelling for people.
Yeah,
you know, it's like you kind of have to find your niche that is, you know, maybe less explored than other niches within that space. And I feel like poppers, you know, they come in a ton of variety, and there are sort of like some of the more intense niches that have been like, you know, touched on. I don't want to get into specific brands, but there are ones that like really hit that. And but I feel like that hadn't been like really, you know, explored that in depth. So the goal was to just like really dive into that more experience, that more heavy niche, and try and get a response from people in that way. So, you know, a lot of our marketing has been tilted towards, you know, fisters and like baiters, just because they use, they know their shit. Like they've taken a, you know, a fist up their ass, and they really know what Popper is going to like get them there or not. Or like Baiters, where, you know, they can be huffing for like 3 hours and they're trying to figure out like which one is going to get me gooned into space. So, you know, that was kind of our bag. It's like, let's figure out a way to cater to these people. And especially early going, those were the ones that we were having test out all of our stuff, because I feel like they knew, they knew better.
And that's called smart business.
You know, I think it was just like, the main impetus is like, I want something that's going to floor me. That's going to floor myself. So, yeah.
I think, I think that's a really great way to go. And also, too, like, differentiate to you. You know, you want to stand out from your competitor. At
the end of the day. Like, I don't want to do what everyone else is doing. It's like,
right.
I think, you know, I owe a lot to sort of Double Scorpio as being the sort of business model that I look to is the more modern Popper brand, because I feel like I can't point to like another Popper brand that blew up in like the last 10 years other than Double Scorpio. And you know, they did it with like really savvy branding, really compelling, you know, product lines, and like, and a lot of like social media, you know, pushes that other companies, just other Popper companies, just are too old to really engage with. So they were the ones, like, I definitely owe a lot to them, because they were the ones that sort of like kind of made a blueprint of like, how do you go about building a Popper company in this era, you know, with these different tools at hand, and like building that sort of awareness of it. So yeah, they were, definitely owe a lot to them. So
shout out.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to all of you, you know, being able to produce these things that, you know, it's heavily used by the community. It's definitely an item that can certainly bond people together. You know, I've certainly bonded over people, like random strangers, to say like, oh, Poppers, oh, what kind do you have? And that sparks an entire conversation.
It is so fun. It's part of the community. You know, comparing Pokemon or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. So, like, you have to know. So ridiculous. If you know, you know. You know, it's one of those things where, like, if you're in it.
Which one do you
have? Which one is that? I've never tried that. Can you hook me up? Let me hit that shit.
Yeah.
Which inevitably I do. I will be over at someone's place and they'll be like, what's this? That's how I discovered Double Scorpio, to be honest. I got invited to like a big bait off group. I've always been like, I've tried different poppers. And the one that I always tend to go to is always Jungle Juice. Mm-hmm. Like, that formula classic, for some reason always hits.
Yeah.
Like, being able to go to these groups and settings and being like, have you tried this? And then that's when I tried the Scorpio, and then that's how I tried VH Cleaner. Someone had it on them. So I was doing a little bit of research. Do you know the history of Poppers?
I'm familiar with like a good portion of it. I might need a little bit of refresher. I did a whole report on it.
Did you?
Well, when I was getting started and I was looking for like, you know, help on a loan or something, people wanted like
investors,
basically. I did a whole like multi-page report on it, but
that's fucking cool.
It was just a long history. I felt like I was back in school.
The community since the dawn of fucking time. No, not the dawn of time. Actually, did you know they were first synthesized in 1840s?
Yeah, and
that's that's the research that I did, and it was French chemist, right? Does that sound familiar? Jerome Ballard.
Yeah. I wouldn't be able to give you the name of the guy. But I do know
that. No, but I didn't know it either. Like, I was just so fascinated by the history of it that I didn't know they had existed for that long. Like, back in that time, they were used like to help reduce blood pressure.
Yeah,
they were created to like help medical assistance.
Right? Yeah, I think they were used as a way to help reduce heart angina, A-N-G-I-N-A. I don't exactly know what that is. I just remember reading it and being like, so some sort of like heart blood pressure issue.
Yeah.
I think it would help reduce blood pressure so people could like, you know, function a little bit normally.
And then people quickly realized it was being abused.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, because like the after effects, people were just like, holy shit, like, this feels good. Like, it's helping me, but it's also making me feel this fun, fuzzy way. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I feel like Poppers got a bad rap, like, during, like, the 80s. I think maybe, like, people were just, like, you know, that whole AIDS epidemic, and it just became, like, oh, like, if you did Poppers, you would catch AIDS.
Yeah.
And I find that portion of the history of Poppers a little fascinating.
That portion of Poppers is probably the most interesting period because of how much conflation there was with pauper use and the sort of like just intense, fearful confusion around the AIDS epidemic, you know, like just intense, you know, fear mongering, people unsure what's going on. The science is like still working in the background, trying to figure out exactly what's going on. And people are just unsure. And so into that uncertainty, people find correlations. And obviously there's, you know, a correlation between like gay men and paupers. It's like gay men are the ones that are using it. Oh, it also happens that gay men are the ones, you know, overwhelmingly, disproportionately getting this, you know, getting this virus. So, I think it was like a sort of not unreasonable, you know, hypothesis at the very beginning, but I think it quickly proved to just be an utterly erroneous and deeply harmful, you know, way to go about presenting that or like exploring that avenue of the AIDS epidemic.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think back to it, it's like it must have been a really scary time. You know, you're
intensely scary. Right,
disease, and just like, I think people at the time could have been just trying to find a reason for it.
I can't even imagine. I have trouble even putting myself into those shoes of like, there were friends around me dying every week. You know,
that is
like,
horrible. When every week, that's so sad.
And you know, someone comes up with a study that's saying like, there's this intense correlation between pauper use and you know, getting HIV, and it's like, oh wow, well, that could be something. You know, it is this chemical I'm like, you know, putting into my body. Like, what sort of effects is this having? Like, you know, so yeah, like I totally understand why it happened. As you know, a very strange period with, you know, it's just like, it's difficult to put yourself in that situation and feel like you'd make reasonable assumptions with the data available. So
for sure. Well, I'm glad the pauper survived.
Yeah.
Like, it stuck around. If you
I feel like we're in a little bit of a nice pauper period at the moment. So
for sure.
We'll see how that.
I don't think paupers are ever going to go away, TBH.
I don't think so either. I'm a little bit betting my career on it, but
I don't think they're going to go anywhere. I think as long as gooners be gooning, I feel like you're going to have people that are going to be searching out for this.
I think
product.
People, you know, it's difficult. Like, I feel like with other drugs, there's like this, you know, if it's like other drugs, I feel like there's maybe like a more present, like, you know, risk of like overdoing it or like addiction or other facets of that. I feel like paupers are something that lives in people's life as just like this thing for these really particular occasions. Mm-hmm, you know, it's like I'm not sitting around at my desk just like trying to get work done and I'm distracted because I'm huffing paupers. You know, paupers are like something that's like I'm having, you know, like me and my partner are, you know, doing a little scene tonight. And like, we want to dive deep with each other, you know, like we want to really go there with one another. And like, this is the right space for us to whip out this bottle. Each of us take a little huff and just like go there, you know, just like really get into the thick of it with one another. You know, I think it's a really special thing. Like, I've had just outlandish experiences with, you know, people very close to me that I've got to explore, you know, some of these feelings with. So yeah, paupers to me is like, you know, I'm not just like running a company and I'm just like using it as like a way to like accrue money and do all this stuff. It's like I am like an active participant in this whole, you know, in this whole purview of stuff. Like, paupers mean a lot to me, and I use them, you know, I feel like I use them, you know, fairly often, but also just in like the scenarios that are like appropriate for them, you know. Like, I think it's a way to just like really open up and really become like vulnerable with people in these special scenarios. So
I like that perspective. What advice would you give to someone that hasn't used paupers ever before?
Start slow. And, you know, I think the one thing that is should be warned about with pauper use is like, be very careful if you're combining paupers and Viagra and Cialis. So that's like that's the one thing that I feel like people need to be more aware of is combining these two drugs can like lead to like drops in blood pressure that, you know, might cause you to faint or lose consciousness. So that's like the one thing that people need to be aware of. So just be aware of, like, you know, what drugs you're taking, like what else, what other substances are in your body, and just take it slow. Take a very, you know, small huff, try a very mild brand, take a small huff, just feel it out. You know, there's plenty of time to just like go hard into something. You know, I would say just like, I don't know, dip your toes in. Don't dive in.
I think that's really great advice. And I think with any drug, I think you can come from an informed place. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's so much research on the internet, like, you know, do your due diligence and figure out like if this is going to be the right thing for you. I always tell people also to like try, if you've never ever tried it, you know, I would like to have people try it like in a safe space, like maybe in a home, you know, in your own home. Like, don't go out to like the bars and, you know, try it. Try to do it in a more calm pace, because you don't really know like what it will do to your body.
Yeah,
you'll react to it.
I'd say treat it with any other drug. You know, just treat it with care and respect, and, you know, do it responsibly. Like,
yes,
I think doing it in your own home, just seeing how your body reacts to it at home, is the right thing to do. I mean, some people just get only headaches from poppers. Like, they just, physiological reason, the only thing poppers give them is just a massive headache. And that's just how some people are made. You know, I would say just like try it out in your own home. You know, honestly, I tried, like, you know, whip out some porn and just bait a little bit.
That's what I was gonna say.
That's
like,
you probably know, get the laptop, best way to do it.
Yeah, pull up your favorite porn vid
and just take,
get the,
like,
bottle, and just kind of like small doses dabble. And like gradual.
Just take like a dabble, and, you know, I think that it's probably the most responsible way to go about doing it. Yeah, don't go out with your friends to the bar and be drunk and, you know, try it for the first time there and just,
because also too, like, I feel like if you're like combining all these other things, like, you're not really gonna feel the intensity or the effects. Like, I think you want to be focused on what the actual chemical is going to do to your body. Like, you want that rush, you want that to achieve that headspace, and you don't want to be distracted with other like influences.
I'd say so. You want to know like what your body does, and you want to be responsible with it. So I'd say that's probably the right avenue to approach it with.
Yeah, and over time, I feel like your body adjusts. I know mine did. Like, I'm at the point now where I'm just like, I use it, I get no headaches, I'm done. Like, and it's a quick high. Like, I think people are, I've gotten the feedback where it's like, I'm so scared. Like, what's it going to do to me? Like, this is last forever. I'm like, no, it's a short thing. It's like
these 60 seconds.
Yeah, you're going to be fine. A couple of, you know, don't get up too fast.
Yeah.
Like, don't stand up too fast. Like, let the, you know, let it wear off a little bit in your body.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I love poppers.
I love poppers too.
I hope everyone goes out and enjoys some, get some VH cleaner.
Yeah, I'd be happy to send you some too. Like, you know,
I'd be happy to send
you a little care package. I think that'd be fun. Yeah, just send me some details. I'll get you.
I would love that. Thanks so much.
Get your thing wrapped up. Yeah.
What are the plans? Do you have plans on expanding the line? Like, what it's kind of like on the horizon for you?
Yeah, right now we're kind of at a bottleneck with how much we can make in the space that we're making it in. So right now the plan is to like save up enough money to where we can buy a larger production space. And then I've got a whole slew of ideas for other formulas that
we're
gonna
make. Do you hand make each bottle?
What do you mean, like, by hand make?
Like, are you like making the batches yourself, and like, or do you have like a production company or like a?
Oh no, I'm making it. I am the one making everything.
So you're like at home, like, I can imagine, like,
ostensibly.
It just popped in my head, like the Powerpuff Girls, you know, like the Professor.
It's
X.
it's just a large black cauldron over an open flame.
Like,
and it's just stirring for hours. No
that
we have like
amazing.
We have like a range of like expensive professional chemical equipment that we make it on
for sure.
in our production space, and you know, like I make it, I'm the chemist of the crew, so I'm the one that makes every batch. you know.
Nice.
So it's a full gig right now.
That's so nice. I feel like it gives like a really good, it's like a homemade touch. I feel like I'm really inclined to buy it more because I'm just like, oh, he's actually physically making it himself.
I test every batch that we make, you know, so I personally use every batch that we create to make sure like it's up to standard. But we're at a point right now that the process is so, you know, proceduralized and like regularized that it is just like down, and everything is kind of like, you know, good to go. It kind of runs by itself most of the time, but I've got plenty of plans to make other new formulas. I've got a bunch of different ones that I think would be kooky and weird that people haven't really experienced yet, because like I said, there's a lot of different nitrites you can make and a lot of different blends you can create between them. Yeah. Like a lot of different ones. And, you know, I think most popper companies want to like play it safe with what they put out. They want to put out like one thing and they just want to like do that one thing. I want to be like a lot more whimsical with it. And I think like the two different formulas that we have right now are, you know, they took a long time to figure out what they were going to be, both of them. You know, both of them were not something that we knew we would be producing going into it. It was a lot of like, we came upon this blend that we were like, oh wow, this is like sick. This is
phenomenal.
So I kind of want to like have that approach going forward of like, we're just going to keep making different ones until we find another blend that we'd feel like would be an appropriate addition to the ones that we already have. But once we have that, then we'll like start sending it out to people and be like, yo, you need to try this. So it's fun. It's like a little
sign project. Me up as a tester.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what we did for the second formulas. We just had a bunch of people online test out various formulas and we had them vote digitally, like through Twitter, which one they preferred. So yeah, I'd be happy to.
I think that's smart. You know, you're going to get feedback from the actual people that are going to use.
Yeah. The people that are real customers for it, get a say in which formulas are going to be made. I'm the one kind of devising all the plans for different formulas, but then the end product is kind of going to be heavily influenced by what people are saying they like and what they don't like. So
nice. Fucking poppers made for, you know, popper heads made by
for dumb gooners like myself. Yeah.
Hey, let's play a game.
Yeah.
I invented this game called Goon or Gone. And so essentially I think of random shit that in my life that I'm just focusing on and paying attention to, and I like love to hear other people's perspectives. So I'm gonna just name shit off this list.
Okay.
And then you're gonna tell me if you goon for it, you love it, or if it's gone, it's gotta go. It's like, no, it's no longer.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Goon or Gone. Number one, pedicures.
Oh, goon. Absolutely. Yeah.
I goon too. I love a fucking beautiful manicured foot.
Yeah.
Dude.
Take care of my feet, you know, get it all set. Let's go for it.
Have you ever had like a boy, like, or someone like give you an actual pedicure as like a sexual,
I've had people like worship my feet and like done a whole like, you know, foot sort of.
Are you into feet? Scene. You yourself?
I'm like, you know, I'm not like not into feet. It's not like my specialty, but you know, if someone's like really digging my feet and that gets the rocks off, I'm not mad at it.
Do you like to serve his feet?
Really context dependent. Really context dependent. You know?
I feel like some people are like really have a big aversion. Like I'll mention feet and someone like playing. People are just like, it's a hard no. And I'm just like, what's wrong with the foot?
I don't know. I have nothing against feet. I think feet could be like a really fun element. So yeah, nothing against
it. Me too.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever had like a really great jack off with like a foot job?
I don't know. No.
Oh, okay. Well, then there you go. That's something for you to explore. Get yourself some poppers and get yourself like a big meaty foot all over your dick. All right, we goon for pedicures. Keep those toesies clean and up to, you know, up to par. Number two, vintage gay porn. I'm talking like 70s, 80s.
Okay, I'm probably gonna be a little bit hateful of this, but gone.
Okay. No, why is that?
I think it's like, this is just my own preference, but I feel like the porn from that era, and to some extent some of the porn from this era, is so overly dramatized and like overly produced. It's like, especially porn from that area, it's like there were production companies, they were making little setups, they had little stories to them. That is all like a huge turn off for me. Like the only porn I jerk off to is like it's got to be like amateur, it's got to be sincere, it's got to be two people that I know are like dying to fuck each other, and that has to come through in the porn. If it's like, oh, this is like a month planned out, we've got a script for it, and we've got to, like, you know, have the right sort of cowboy wrangler come over and fuck this twink because he, you know, lost his horse or something like that. Like, I don't know.
This twink lost his horse.
Can't do it. No, it can't do it. It's just not sensual for me. It's not real for me. I need something that's like, I want something that's like real. That's what really gets me off, is like, I want like real porn. Like, I want to see two people like losing their shit, fucking each other because it's so good. And they just happen to have a video of it. You know, they just happen to have a camera set up, or they capture some part of it. They just
happen to have it.
That's what really gets me off. It's like knowing these two people that's are really cool. Fucking losing their shit. That's what gets me.
Nice. I'm going to say I goon for it because, I don't know, it's just like, it's so nostalgic for me somehow to think that like these are like our like brothers back in the day, like having a good fucking time, like just like getting it up back in the 80s and 70s. And I think also just to look like these like shaggy bearded,
it is fun to watch.
Cock.
It is very fun to watch. Yeah. I think in that sense, it's fun to watch. It's less fun for me like jerk off to.
No, yeah. I hear that. Also too, I feel like there was a certain sensuality that they were going for. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I get really turned on with men just being really soft and sensual with each other. And like a lot of caressing, and like, I don't know, it just seemed really beautiful. I could tell that they're being very intentional when they were recording this stuff, and that was the intention with it.
Yeah, I definitely get behind that,
which is really nice. All right, cool. Respect. Okay, number three, taints. Smooth taints, hairy taints, big taints, meaty taints.
So taints in what sense?
Like,
I guess
the part between
the whole
nut sack.
I think, okay, I'm gonna say goon on this one, because like, if someone's like really like going to town on my taint, like, I think that's really hot, and I feel like I do the same thing, so it's like,
me too.
Yeah, I think I
like goon. There's a lot of space to lick.
Yeah,
like, there's
and,
so much
yeah, I know.
Room to,
and
like,
it's all
play.
Like very erogenous, you know, it's very like, it's very sexy and sensual, and it feels really good. So yeah, definitely goon for that.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like all, not all taints are made the same. Like, I've sucked on some pretty meaty taints on some people. I'm just like, ooh, this is nice. It's like a meal in itself.
Yeah.
All right, we good for taints. All right, number four, deep dish pizza.
Oh, gone. Absolutely gone. No.
What, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so shocking. Why?
I just don't like it. It's too much. It's too much fucking bread. It's too thick. Don't like it. I live in the deep dish capital.
No,
it's not good. I feel like most of the people here, they're like from here. It's like deep dish is like something that you'll do very rarely on this like kind of weird occasion. It's like, oh, let's do a little Chicago thing. Let's go to a deep dish. Let's go down the street to like Georgia's deep dish or something. And I don't think, I don't know. Like literally the pizza that I find most appealing is actually Detroit style. And there's some great Detroit style pizza in Chicago.
So fascinating.
So, yeah. Detroit style is like my favorite. Love
your favorite
stuff. Yeah.
I feel like I was watching some foodie YouTube video and they were talking about deep dish pizza and I was like, oh, like that doesn't exist here in LA. It does. And I found a really close local restaurant to me that specializes in deep dish pizza, so I took a boy there and I was like, we're gonna go get some pizza. It was so good. Like, it was really tasty.
It's good. It also
stuff.
Takes like an hour to make. It's like you order it and it's like, okay, it's like 30.
I mean, of course we have like an appetizer pizza for sure while we waited for this thing. But yeah, that's what they warned us. They're like, if you want a deep dish, you better order it now.
Yeah.
It's nice. All right. Number five, Lollapalooza.
Oh, that's a tough one. If I can be on the fence with this one, I'll be on the fence. Sure. I've been to Lollapalooza. I've had a good time at Lollapalooza. The one time I went last year, not this, not 2023 to 2022, I ended up seeing Dua Lipa live near the front.
Nice.
And I lost my absolute mind. I thought it was the most amazing.
Are you a big Dua Lipa fan?
I like Dua Lipa, and then seeing her live, I'm like, oh my fucking god, I love Dua Lipa.
I always is it like a big thing for the city, because it takes place only in Chicago, right? It doesn't
really, but it's kind of like, you know, Lollapalooza at this point is like, it definitely skews younger. You know, I'm like 30 right now, and it's targeting a lot of like 19, 20 year olds, a lot of whom are coming in from like the surrounding Chicago suburbs and the surrounding metros to come to it. So, you know, I wouldn't say that people in Chicago are usually too enthused about Lollapalooza. Like, you'll find some music heads that are like, oh, we're going because there's fucking Green Day and whatever playing, and we're just gonna go. And I think, you know, there's definitely something to be said for that. And I think it's a fun event. A lot of people in Chicago just fucking hate it because it's just like the city just becomes like mobbed. All the CTA systems just become
unmanageable. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
And you know, downtown becomes just like a slew of 19-year-old boys in different NBA jerseys. So I don't know. It's fun. I feel
like you could be really successful, like selling poppers at Lollapalooza, like set up a little booth.
No one would even
listen. I used to live in New
They're
York.
They're too young.
I was selling poppers back in the day when I was like pretty young. I mean, over 18. But I feel like people shouldn't be fooled into thinking that it's just for gay people. Like, I remember living in New York and being invited to a party and like having poppers be surrounded by a bunch of straight people. I was like, y'all are fucking tripping on this bottle. They were just like loving it to the nines. They were like, it was like the best thing that they ever found in their lives. I'm like, do you even know?
I feel like there's a growing awareness, especially among straight women, of the virtues of
poppers. Yeah.
So
yeah, they know.
I think they're slowly getting a handle on it. But yeah. Selling at Lollapalooza, they would never. It would be a mess.
Have you ever thought about, like, do you have plans of like saying that, like, at festivals, like gay festivals, like Folsom or like a gay pride?
I've thought about doing Folsom. Folsom is a little bit difficult because it's like all the way across the country and it's only like one day, so it's like you have to organize so much shit and just make sure you sell enough on this one single like 12-hour period. So I've not done that because I think that would be like too stressful and too expensive. But like, we do IML here. We do Market Days. Market Days is like a huge deal for us. So Market Days in Chicago is pretty big. We do like some other kink events around the country. So we do like Claw, you know, like we do like a Rubber event here and there, and then like maybe like a Bear Run once a year. So yeah.
Oh, nice. Like Lazy Bear? You could do it at Lazy Bear.
Yeah, I guess we could do it at Lazy Bear. That'd be interesting.
Something to think about. Okay.
Yeah.
Lollapalooza on the fence. Did we goon or was on the fence?
On the fence.
It was
on the fence. On the fence. On the fence. Yeah.
Okay, next. Toon porn.
Toon porn. Okay, give me what this is. Wait, is this like, okay.
I was talking to a couple of friends last night and I was scrolling through Twitter and it's like these Disney characters, like fully realized Disney characters, just like having the raw bareback sex. And it's like, it's like real moaning. It's nothing like fake about it. It's like real sex people like having it, but it's just animation porn.
I'd say goon to this. Yeah,
I'd say goon so hard for it.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff that I watch porn wise can be a little outrageous, so I can't really. If it's like, you know, like I watch furry porn, you know, it's like, okay,
like, well, bar porn. Yeah,
it's like, okay, well, that's,
oh my god, you should join. Are you on Discord? You should join my buddy Bader Mutt's Discord. They're all about that Discord. Stuff.
I feel like I know Bader Mutt, but
yeah, yes. Bader Mutt, such a sweetie. Yeah, but I interviewed him for my podcast, but he's been the person that's kind of got me more information on like furry and like pup play and like Bara porn and all this good stuff. So yeah, I go for it.
Love furry porn, so I think this transitions into toon porn.
Okay, perfect. We're gooner for toon porn.
Yeah, gooner
for
toon
porn. Okay, next, piss play.
I'd say goon for it. It's not like it's not my favorite thing. But I think it's really hot. I think it's really hot to like piss on someone. My issue is that I'm like pee shy, so it's like I think it's so hot.
Same.
But
same.
It's also like, oh god, fuck. It's like I can never really promise someone who's really into piss that I'm absolutely going to be able to deliver. It's like, okay, I need to be like three beers deep and like have like ready flow.
Like ready. I got like
you're gonna come. You know?
No, definitely. But I do enjoy it. Like I'll pull up a porn and like when I watch someone really enjoy getting pissed on, that's a turn on.
I think it's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. We're good for it. And then the final one, and before I say it, I just have to let you know there's only one right answer to this.
Okay. Oh gosh.
Selena.
Oh, absolutely goon.
Thank you.
Yeah. Very I grew up in Texas, so there was a lot of Selena related stuff. I think they made us watch the Selena video or the Selena Jennifer Lopez movie so many times in elementary school. It was ridiculous.
Really? That was like part of the curriculum?
I don't know. They put it on so many times in elementary school.
Fuck yeah.
I don't know. So it's like we were inculcated with a love of Selena from a very young age.
Fuck yeah, that's so cool. Like I've just seen a resurgence of her because I was like going through Instagram and there was like a clip of her like being interviewed by some whatever, and then like had her sing. She just basically just sang a cappella. She sounds fucking amazing. And I just think to myself, God, we lost a great, great talent. It was so devastating. But that's it.
Cool.
That's Gunnar Gahan. Thank you so much for being on my podcast. I really enjoyed speaking with you. Where can people, I'm going to put all this stuff in links that people can follow, but like, where can people follow you? Where can people follow your product? Like,
get to know more about you. You know, if you want to find my little crazy Twitter, you're going to have to do your own investigative work. But my business Twitter, you can go to at VH Cleaner. So at VH Cleaner, that's our Instagram and Twitter. We are at vhcleaner.com for our website, where you can order all of our products. We ship to anywhere in the US and, we try to get those out really quickly, so you don't have much of a delay between when you need to goon and when you can goon.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, people don't need those poppers, man.
They gotta, people
have. Wait, is your Twitter an alt Twitter? Do you have an alt Twitter?
I might
have. Okay, great. Twitter, I'll talk to you about that afterwards. All right, cool. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us on this episode of the BetaScape podcast. Go out and pick up some VH Cleaner. It'll change your life, I promise. Thank you so much, Jacob, for.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Having me or being on the show. And then we'll see everyone in the next show.
Yeah.
Bye, y'all. Hey, what's up? It's me, Beastly. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the BetaScape podcast. I love talking to interesting people about interesting masturbation things. If you're a fan of this podcast, thank you so much for your support. If you're new here, thank you for listening. Please like, subscribe, follow, and share. I would love for you to share this podcast with everyone you know, especially if you have a solo sexual masturbator friend in your life. Let them know that this podcast exists and that they're not alone in their masturbation lifestyle. I love producing these episodes. These come out bi-weekly, and I would love to continue to produce these episodes for you. So again, thank you so much for your support, and continue sharing this podcast to everyone you know, and I'll keep making them for you. Thanks again for listening. See you next time.